Hey, it's your Uncle Brent. It's been 2 days since my last Pop-Tart. I'm struggling, but I'm looking forward to spending a little quality time with you. Next up in the news, today, Ronell bails on Uncle Brent. More information next week. Also, in the weather, the first cold front blew into Texas. Now it's only 90 degrees in the shade. Finally, in sports, go Saints. Y'all guys sit back, get ready for an exciting interview hosted by me, your favorite unrelated uncle.
We'll just have to make up something.
I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Maybe it'll just introduce yourself. I don't know.
No. I don't like to talk about myself as much as possible. So let me hear what you got.
You're on an interview talking about yourself. That's all we're going to do.
I always try to switch it around. You know, I like that you've got the tequila thing in the background.
Oh, yeah. That was my last single. So
your tequila nights. Uh-huh. I like that.
So
see how I switched it over? It's all about you. Okay. I'm ready. Dude. I'm ready.
Known as the woman of the West, this artist weaves an introspective, rustic themed version of Americana music wrapped in a feel of a Southern ghost town. Welcome, Blackbird recording artist, Deb Morrison.
Yay.
Oh my gosh, that's lovely. Thank you.
Well,
I like it.
You have a lot of write-ups on you, so I just kind of looked at all their stuff, and then I threw in some of my stuff. But these new set of songs, I enjoyed going through. Not that I hadn't heard them before, but you know, when you say, hey, I want to talk about these songs, I have to like really sit down and think about what is going on here. It's a very, I pay attention a lot, I think, or more so. I'll do it anyway, but even more so when y'all guys or artists tell me, hey, these are the songs I want to cover. Appreciate you for offering up some more songs, and I actually listened to four of them. So let's get down to tacks now. So it's close to the holidays.
Yep.
My question, first question is, are you slowing down your tour schedule to make room for the special things like turkey, stuffing, and deviled eggs? What are you doing to get ready for that?
I've slowed everything down to a complete halt just for those reasons. Actually, truly. Yeah, I had our last gig in Nashville. We had our last show in Nashville. And then I thought after that, I'm just going to actually, we had one more show when we got back. I like to slow things down for the holiday, mostly just for family and to take a break and to cook and do house stuff and just get back down to the nitty gritty of real life. You know, and you move it all the time and just family, you know. So I'm ready for the family, and I'm ready for the turkey and the deviled eggs and the holiday cocktails. I'm getting all primed for that. So yes, yes, yes.
Most people have holiday cocktails in order to survive their family.
This is true. I'm very good at making them. I do have a knack for that. I'm the person they come to, and I got it all ready. So when the family comes over, it's the first thing they get.
Well, you've been in the field that helps you excel at that.
Right. As have you. I think you're probably pretty good at it. I have a feeling.
I'm pretty simple when it comes to that stuff. I get a Crown and Coke and I'm good to go. Just
there
something,
you go.
Something standard, basic, easy to go. So you ready to jump into the first song?
Sure. Let's do
All
it.
All right. Let's talk about Great Mother. I can tell you a little bit what I noticed in it, and then I'll just have a question for you. You ready?
Ready.
Nice mellow intro. I really enjoyed the intro. The harmonies came in a little bit after the intro. Kind of Fleetwood Mac harmonies sounding.
Ooh.
Really nice. Was not expecting the flute solo. I love the guitar work of the guys that you, I don't know if you have the same guitarist. It sounds like you use the same guitarist, but I couldn't tell for certain, but whoever does your guitar work, the people that you hire, they sound really good. They're tasty. They don't overplay. Or my question is this a Mother Nature worship kind of song?
Oh, yes, it is. It is. And we had a lot of fires here, if you probably remember, and literally where I live is right up against the mountain range here. And there were times when the fires were so bad that we could literally see them and the ashes were coming down on our house. And course, these are the mountains out here that I hike in all the time. And plus, there was just a tremendous amount of loss. It's one thing we have out here are the wildfires, either by Mother Nature or not. So we had a lot of them. And so that was kind of my ode to Mother Nature and the song about, you know, there's a fire in the canyon and the ashes are coming down. And we were praying for rain, praying for water to save this little town. And so that's what it was really about. And a reminder that in the end, she's the one that wears the crown. You know, she's the one. So you can do everything you can do. And in the end, she's the boss. So that's what that was about.
It's pretty crazy how, if you think about it, there's just some things that are so much bigger than you.
Right.
And so I think I was listening to it. And it's not like you really disguised it or anything. You pretty much just came out and said what the song was about. And I even knew that it was about the fires. My wife has a soccer mom friend, and they came from Washington State, and their property got burnt down by fire too. And so they ended up moving to Texas. So I kind of get what you're talking about. I'm glad y'all guys were all right. This was a few years ago, though, right?
It was years ago. And, you know, we have them frequently. And a friend of mine in Northern California, they lost everything. They lost their entire home and everything and barely got out of there alive. So I always think about that kind of thing. So it's kind of an ode to all of that, a reminder of, you know, of all the fires that we have here and just Mother Nature's strength, whether it's fires or not, you know. So I didn't disguise it. I just said it.
You just came out and said it. The only thing that you was really like super surprising was the flute solo. That was a flute, right?
Right. It was a flute. And, you know, we recorded that during the pandemic when it was just a few of us in the studio there. So not our normal kind of situation. We were just kind of playing what we feel. And one of my best girlfriends, she has a beautiful voice and she's a flautist. So she plays flute and it just all came out really supernaturally. We were jamming on it and it came together that way. And it seemed to fit kind of in that, you know, a little bit of a Native American way, kind of all kind of flowed together. So that's why you heard the flute in there. That's probably the only song on that album that has flute in it. But that's why it took you by surprise, which is okay.
I think it is. I remember, you know, because I listened to the whole album before in the past and some of your other stuff. It's just I wasn't expecting it, even though I have heard this song before. But the flute kind of makes it more earthy.
Yes. I think,
you know, more.
It does.
Down to earth and nature kind of thing.
Good. But, well, that was the point, so I'm glad.
throughout all the songs I've listened to, especially on your last album, the tonal quality's a little bit different than your other albums. Like, I still haven't figured out what it is, because when I'd hear something that normally when I listen to artists, I either hear something that sounds like maybe one of their influences, or, you know, I'll hear something that remind me of something else. So then I'll hop over real quick and check that out and then go back to the artist and kind of go back and forth and kind of see what, you know, was this an influence? Am I just talking crazy? Am I making up stuff? With your latest album, but you're working on a new one, but your latest album, the one you released recently, I've been able to hop back, reference different artists and different music and stuff. And the quality of the music in this last album was really good. I really like it. And it stands up to the other stuff. Like when I jumped in the Fleetwood Mac and listened to their vocals to see if your vocals were like them, you know, do nerd stuff. You know,
I love nerd stuff.
I was like, well, you know, the sound of this is just stands up next to that in some ways. And sometimes in some of the songs, it's even better than the other artists I was looking up.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for taking the time to listen and get nerdy on it. It's really cool that you take the time to listen. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate that you take the time to interview artists and to support them. And I know it's a lot of work to do all that stuff you're doing. So it's really cool. Keep doing what you're doing. Helps the community, helps independent artists. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, Ronelle and I both, we love our people. Because y'all are our people. And so, you know, I know for myself, even if I wasn't a musician, I would be doing, listening to music stuff. And even when I stopped playing for a while there, I just was always having music on, always listening for what's there. You know, and I bet you do that too, but it's probably to, how can I get more badass than what I already am? That's probably why you do it.
I actually love, of course, I love music, but I really love supporting artists. And I started an Americana Music Nights here years ago, which has now turned into other different shows where I love finding new artists. I love finding and giving them a platform to play and to support them and push them. And I started doing the Prickly Pear thing a while back. And I really love doing that and creating a community out here, which is, it's hard in a city like this, as you probably know. Years ago, I felt like there wasn't a big community, Americana community out here. I wasn't part of it. And I felt like there needed to be some sort of a platform for artists to play at different locations as opposed to maybe the same place. Felt like there were a lot of really great artists, but they were having trouble getting shows or playing somewhere or where everyone came together in one place. So I started a thing called Prickly Pear Presents and then started putting on Americana Music Nights. And that grew, and it was so satisfying because nobody knew anything about me. I could just stand back there in the back of the room with the sound guy and put all these people on this show. And it was like this invisible kind of character. And I could watch this room fill with people and kind of, you know, had a great joy come from bringing everybody together and having a music community where people could support each other and hang out. And so that continues. So I understand that. I love music and I love playing music, but I love that aspect of it also. And finding cool new people no one's ever heard about and giving them a shot or a chance to play a show or a gig or a night. So I like doing that. Continue to do that when I'm done with all this, I'll just keep on making shows as opposed to, you know, playing them eventually.
You know? I don't know if you're ever going to be able to retire. You're like a big gun. You're like,
no.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a little fish. I'm just doing my thing and trying to get joy out of it myself. That's all you can really do. There's not a lot of music money in the music business. And not that I'm doing it to make money, but it's the longevity is short and I just do it for the joy of doing it. And, you know, I like to create. So I'm just going to keep doing that as long as I can keep my feet in, you know.
I mean, you've been playing for a long time, so I don't think that you're ever going to stop. You'll be with your...
Knock on wood.
Yeah, I think you're going to keep going. So So you want to go into Salt and Sea? So this one was dark and mournful, which I like, with that Americana feel to it. Smoky vocals with great use of your vocal range. So in this one, you're going really low and then you're going really high, or what I consider to be low and high. Because I was listening to some of your vocal lines and I was like, I don't even know if I can sing that low. It's like, holy cow. And then you're
a smoky place.
You have a great, great range. And I just think this song like really allows you to show it off, you know, because you start out lower and then by the end, you're doing these, you've really opened up your voice and you're really just letting it go and really belting out the notes and stuff. The other thing I really like, as always, the guitar work. This song kind of gave me the feel of kind of two artists. One was Wicked Games by Chris Isaak, and the other one was Bad Things by Jace Everett. And I figured I had to listen to it a few times. I think it was the guitar work specifically on this one, and it's not the notes being played or the chord progressions, but the tone of the guitar itself. This one also, right at the beginning, you catch everyone off guard, because this song has like, I love the whole first verse. And I was just like, wow, this is good. Oh my God, it's still going. Oh my God, there's more words. So I like, Daddy just died and my lover left me for Dallas. Wallet's gone dry and baby, I got a habit. And it goes on and on for there. But what a great beginning, if you know, to really set up the story of the whole song. My question goes back to, I was talking about the great use of your vocal range in this song. How do you get those vocal melody lines? Where do you go to figure out, okay, here I need to sing an alto level, and then this other part, I'm going to really open it up and get into my higher registers. How do you do that?
I don't know. I never really thought about it that way. I truly do just, I feel like when I'm singing or coming up with melody lines, it's just coming from the place of telling the story with my voice, I guess, you know, and sometimes it feels like it needs to go to that next place, you know, it needs to start low and dark and smoky. And then it needs to grow to that other place where it gets a little interesting towards the end, where I can actually use those little quivers and things. Because I like it to feel a little bit, you know, sometimes a little David Lynch-y, or feel like the place I'm singing about. I feel like that when I'm singing and I'm utilizing my voice, I'm trying to make the visual of that come out in the sound. So starts out low and smoky, because that's kind of that sad part. Daddy just died. My lover left me for Dallas. True story. While it's gone. I didn't want it to be also as dark then, because I didn't want it to end on it being so dark. So in the video, I was like, I don't want this to look like it's the end, because really it's the beginning of something new. So I wanted to lift it up a little bit by going to that next place with my vocals, going to a higher spot. I guess, does that make any sense?
No, it does. It does. I saw the video too. And it was an interesting video. Did you put the video together? Did you get the actors that were involved? How did that whole thing happen? Was that like your idea of how the video should be, or were you like sitting in a bar room, shooting pool, drinking beer, and you're like, hey, what about this? And someone else throws something else out. How did that whole thing come about, the video of the song?
Well, luckily, my partner in crime at Rockton Road, we shoot a lot of videos and do a lot of stuff. And that's my other passion. So I came up with the concept and the idea and put a storyboard together. And I said, let's get your red camera and go out to the Salton Sea and shoot it. And he's a cinematographer. So we work really well together on lots of projects. And so we made a road trip like we did with the North Fork. And we just get on the road and start to shoot. And that's my daughter in the video. So I convinced her to go out there to the Salton Sea, which is a quite a long drive. I'm going to say it took us like 3.5 hours to get out there. And it really is straight out of a David Lynch film. I mean, it feels like it's kind of feels like the end of the world a little bit. It feels like a broken heart to me. That's what the Salton Sea feels like to me. It visually looks like a broken heart. And I thought, oh God, I really always wanted to shoot up there. It's a place where a lot of filmmakers will go to shoot stuff. It's very surreal. All the white beaches that you see in it are all crushed fish bones. It's not sand. So it's like, oh. So my daughter was like, I'm like, please, just you have to step in the water. She's like, oh, Mom, I don't want to step in the water. I go, you've got to step in the water. So it was an adventure doing it. And she was a trooper. But yeah, part of that whole thing was making the video, which is another thing I love to do. So I like wrapping it all up in a visual package there. And that was a really fun one to make. So even though it's dark and everything, it was a really great adventure to go out there and make it, you know?
Yeah, so. It was filmed really good. I thought it fit the lyrics really well. So how much of the editing process do you participate in? Do you just say like, hey, dude, just send me something and then I'll review it? Or do you like say, hey, remember that part when the cliff and the hawk, you know, I want that right here where these lines
are. Right, right. Well, he is amazing. His name is Nick Capel, and he's an amazing cinematographer. And like I said, he's one of my closest friends. So most of the time when we're shooting, you know, I'll be saying, oh, get this or get that, or he'll have a great idea. We just work together collaboratively on that. But without me even saying to him, I think he knows what I'm thinking and he knows exactly what to shoot. And editing wise, he knows the idea of what I'm going for. And then I just let him have at it because he has the creative freedom of choosing. And then we go back and I say, oh, let's switch this up. Or why don't we do this? Or how about that? And we share ideas that way. But most of the time he's just spot on because he just knows exactly what I want. And he's just a very tasty, amazing editor. And he's a special effects guy. He just gets it right all the time. And I like him to have his creative freedom that way because he's great at it. So I let him do that. And then I get lucky because then I get to have this great thing, you know?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. drown myself in the Sultan Sea.
Yeah. So that was your daughter. That's pretty cool. What's that like to, cause I think we talked the last time and she is not a musician, correct?
She dabbled a little bit. And she's actually great, but she's not really interested in it. I think, you know, when it's what your parents do, you don't want to do anything your parents do. But, she was in a band called the Florida Mistakes, which was so good. And my husband and I were like, you've got to keep going. You know, what do you mean you want to go to college? You've got to keep up with this. They were so good. That just wasn't her thing in the end. She switched over and she goes, listen, I want to go to college and I don't want to do this music thing. She is really a talented young woman. And we had a great time watching her grow and blossom through that. And then we had a great time watching her do something else, you know? So, but our kids want nothing to do with, music. You know what? I think we did it right. It was like the Ab Fab thing where the parents are so crazy that the kids want nothing to do with it at all. And you could, I think I worked that one right, you know?
Well, it could be because you're such a big star and it would be so hard to eclipse you that they're just like, you know what? Mom is such a great musician, songwriter, video director. I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm just going to go over here and.
You are hysterical for saying that. And it's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said. It's just so not true. But, you know, I'm happy that the kids have gone on to do something else. If it was what their passion was, I would, of course, support whatever their passion is. This just so happened to be, you know, what we do. And you think somehow your kids are going to turn out like you somehow picking up some of it. My daughter's a very creative person, but just in a different way, you know? But it's funny how your kids are really their own separate things. They have their own personalities and their own souls. And somehow you feel like, you know, you raise them the best that you can. And sometimes you think, wow, they're so different than I am in other ways, or they're not interested at all, or, oh, they're, you know, they're a math whiz. And where did that come from? You know, it's amazing to watch them grow into who they are, you know? So I'm proud of them, but they're not interested in, they love music, but they're not interested in actually making it.
Well, this works right into the next song we were going to talk about. One More Thing. Oh. So I listened to this song. The transitions have a go to church gospel feel to it, which I liked. And then your vocals will just to kind of allow for that stuff anyway. Not the prim and proper, but the more rustic or Americana gospel music. You know, not so much bluegrass, but your voice allows that to happen. And then what you do with the backing vocals, it sounds like you have a choir singing behind you sometimes because of what you have going on. Nice guitar work. And then y'all guys did what I love is when you use strings and they share the melody with the guitar, or like this one, it was really kind of I think there were two or three guitars playing, and then you had the strings and one guitar was doing the rhythm. One was doing like almost a rhythm solo thing, and then the strings would play around with that. And I thought that was just really cool. That would be something like I would try to do, not as well, of course, but something that I would try to do, kind of go for. So I thought that was really awesome. This song is a nod to the kids taking flight. They grow up, they leave, and we're left to clean up their damn mess. Pretty much. So my question about this song is a little bit different than some of the other ones, and this is probably more personal. What moment with your kids do you keep close to your heart and draw strength from?
Oh, wow. That is such a good, very deep question. Well, there's so many. I guess, you know, it's always difficult No one tells you this at the very beginning. You're not there yet. So, you know, you will be. And then you'll call me and you'll say, Debbie, it's time. They're flying the coop. Nobody really prepares you because you don't really think about it. You're so busy raising your kids and the craziness of it all. The rushing to school and taking them to the sports and, you know, the homework and you got to get a tutor, and you know, all these things, right? That when they actually are getting ready to leave to go to school or leave the home, you suddenly kind of freak out a little bit. You know, you have this deep, deep sadness of them actually leaving. You picture their room empty, then you take them shopping and you're going through the store and they're picking out things and you're trying to, you know, hold it all in because you're choking up that you're actually buying them sheets for their college bed. And you can remember that it wasn't that long ago that you were doing the same thing, you know? And I wasn't expecting that. And until I talked to other friends of mine who, of course, have gone through the same thing, I just wasn't expecting that crushing, you know? And they weren't even going that, she wasn't even going that far away, you know? And I was like, oh my God. And it really is like a crazy morning. And then all of a sudden you're left to think, oh my God, did I tell them everything? Did I teach them everything? And you're always asking yourself that. Did I say everything I needed to say? Do they know everything to go out into the world to keep themselves safe or whatever? Oh gosh, I digress because I have to go back to your question, which was, what gives you strength when they leave or what gives you strength in general?
Is there a moment? I mean, I'm sure you said there are many, but is there just one of the moments with your kids that you keep close to your heart that you use to draw strength from?
Well, I think the moments would be when they made good decisions or they came out of something and had the strength to overcome something or to get through something. Or they had a success in something that they were thinking about or they were trying to do, but they weren't sure if they were going to make the team or whatever. You know, I think we as parents, or at least I felt like I would draw strength from watching them grow and have an achievement of some sort that took them to the next place, because that always made me feel like, oh, they're going to be okay. They've got that inner fire to overcome or get through something, you know? And I think that would give me strength, you know? As far as strength is actually when they left the house, the only thing that gave me strength then is when they would call me and say, and they would communicate with me, because that stops for a while. And I'm sure you remember probably when you left home, your parents would always say, make sure you call your parents. You have to call them, text them, call them, anything. After they leave home, that's what gives you the strength, is when they communicate with you. And that's like, pulling teeth, you know?
That's funny. Oh, well, I have five kids. So my oldest is like 28 or something.
Oh, so you've actually done that already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you still have youngins.
I do have young ones. I have a 7-year-old and almost a 2-year-old. So I'm all over the place pretty much. But my oldest one, it was interesting. Just to see him go out and do stuff is pretty cool.
Well, it seems like yesterday, the patter of your feet, and singing that song every night when you couldn't fall asleep. Filling the yard, and look at you driving my old car. And as you head down the driveway just like that, all I can think about is when you're coming back. say just one more thing before you head into everything. Well, who's that man standing there? All the little things are big things now. Oh, the hand moves away too fast. The mind is much older now. We always want to say just one more thing.
You're at a cool part though, because you know the kids are gone now. You can like really, maybe you didn't let it slow you down, but I'm pretty sure when they were in school, you couldn't be touring and stuff, you know. But now you can just like midweek, I'm gonna go play.
Oh yeah, no, full on. I mean, I just the second that we were able to bring all that back, we did, and it felt good because I wouldn't have missed. Not doing it for a while to miss them, that was I wanted to put everything I had into them, and I would never change that. So, and now that they're, blown the coop, now I'm like, oh God, it's a good thing that, that I've got this other thing to latch onto. And you've got to go find yourself again, really. You've got to kind of come back to who you were before you had kids. So it's that ever evolving journey,
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Do you ever get back to that person before them?
I think so. Although really? It's different. It's different now, because we're different. We've grown and matured and changed, and we've lived a different life. So we think of things differently. Where, right. You write about different things. Things mean a little more than they did before, You're not writing about those things you wrote about when you were in high school, And, well, maybe we do sometimes, but,
sometimes, yeah. But it's a good day, all the other days our back hurts. We have a headache. We can't bend over to pick up the dirty pair of underwear on the floor. Cause our back is thrown out, there's all that stuff.
Then there's that stuff, which you got to fight that, man. You just got to keep fighting that.
You just write songs about it. You just embrace that.
You could write songs about that. You've got your tequila songs, tequila night songs. I love all of those.
Have you actually listened to those songs?
Yes, I have.
Seriously.
Yeah. Seriously. You want to ask me which ones are my favorite?
If you know, I know. I have never asked anybody this, but go ahead. Tell me what.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I really like the Malibu song.
Yeah, that was a fun song. That was a
three-way. That was a three-way song?
Three-way.
Oh, was it? Right. Well, it was a good one. I like it. And I like the Best of Me song. It's another good one.
How did you find that one?
I listened.
I pulled that one off of everything but YouTube.
I found it. Well, I listened to it.
That was like my first like real, real song that I thought had substance and depth. And because normally, you know, it's the Garden Gnome and nothing else. You know what I'm saying?
And I love those. I love like the My Name's Not Dick. That's so funny. I mean, obviously, you've got a great sense of humor and you can hear all that humor through a lot of those songs, you know, and the tequila song, the Tequila Nights. That's funny, too.
Yeah.
And I like tequila. So there's that one.
I do, too. It's fun. It, you know, just add it and a few people and you've got a good time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if it's not good time, just add more.
Just add more. That's right. Exactly. I get it.
It'll either get better or you'll pass out, one or the other.
Something's going to happen.
So, wow, that's pretty cool. Thank you for going and listening to my stuff. I think that's very, very kind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's fun. I like to listen. And it says a lot about a person and your personality to listen to those fun songs. You know,
I don't know if any of those would be that good without the co-writers. Because the Tequila Nights song, I have 3 tequila songs. I kind of make a joke at the shows, like their bookends, where I've just written my final tequila song. I wanted a tequila trilogy. So I've written the final one, and now I'm working it out with the drummer, all the changes and stuff. But so that one's going to be kind of like, so Salt and Lime is like the first, like before you go out.
Right.
You know, and you have all these big plans of scoring and meeting chicks and all that stuff, falling in love, maybe getting an STD. I don't know. And then, you know, Tequila Nights is the next day. So this last one is going to be in the middle. So I'm trying to create my set where this is the tequila session of our set. And kind of talk about the songs in that, but I forgot.
You got the opener, you've got the peak, and then you've got the on the other side. Maybe the Tequila Hangover will be your next song.
Yeah. No, I think I'm retiring. That trilogy's enough for tequila. How do people react to you when you're up on stage? Like, I have not seen you like in person live, so I haven't seen a lot of people live, right? So I kind of wonder, like, after talking to you, I'll kind of wonder, you know, what's a show with her or him like? What happens? Because to do what you do, you have your band is named after you. You're on a record label. You play bass. I mean, you're all these things that shove you out there. But there are parts of your personality that are like the opposite of that. So how do you manage those competing personality traits? How do you manage that?
It's challenging for me, actually. I think it's gotten better, but I think I really love writing music. I really love playing music. I really love my band. I've got an amazing band. They're my friends. We hang out, we play for hours. I've gotten a lot better at the shows, but at first it was challenging for me because I, you know, being a bass player and singing backup, I could be that person over on the side. But being out front, and I think truly I love being a songwriter, and I probably always have been, but I never had the courage to just be up front like that because I didn't want to get up there and feel like I was putting on a show, so to speak, you know? So that was a little bit, that was my Achilles heel. That was my thing, they say, you know, whoever they are, to, if it scares you, is even more reason to do it. So I just eventually got used to getting up there and not caring. I really just kind of tuned in and keyed into the music and to my players, and kind of shut out everybody. Like, but I would notice, I would see people out there. But the second I start to look around, I was like, oh God, you know, oh, they're looking at me. No. I always have a hat on, you know, I always like to. And then eventually I stopped caring so much about that. And I stopped caring about that, and just thought I was going to get up there and play and feel the music. And so now I've gotten to that place where I can actually do that. And I joke around, and I have such amazing bandmates, and we have a great time. So I just look over at them and we laugh and we have a good time. I just try to remember to introduce people, but I, you know, when I see people out in the audience and we'll talk, but I'm not like a super jokester. It probably comes very naturally to you, but I'm just decided I just have to be myself, because that's what it is. And, but I have a good time now, and I have fun. And I think people can feel the energy from our band, because we are all good friends and we have a great time together. So I think that translates when we're playing. But as long as I'm playing the music now, that's good. But I don't chit chat a whole lot, you know. It's a lot easier now, and I'm having a blast doing it, but it was challenging at first. And now I can have a lot more fun doing it. I got over my fears.
And tequila helps with that. I did hear that out of it, where everything.
Well, tequila does help with that. And everybody knows that that's what I drink. So, you know, I just can't drink too much of it. I have to keep it on an even keel. But that really does help for me to have that first shot before I go on. And it loosens me up a little bit. So.
There you go.
You know my secret.
I understand. So let's get into Jaded. You mentioned. Is that song live?
Yes, we did. We were in the studio. We recorded it live. We just we filmed it and recorded it. So we made a video and recorded it at the same time. And then we put it out just like that. And then I put it on the album.
Yesterday, saw your mom in her house coat. We talked about younger days. Black light posters and macrame coasters. We used to laugh about it all before you were jaded. Before your tired eyes, magic smile before the big man took it down. Before you were jaded.
So are you done for the rest of the year? So you're not going to be seen anywhere but at home?
With my deviled eggs. I don't have any more shows, but I'm in the process of writing the new album. So, and I'm so excited because now I get to just write and free of all the other stuff, you know, having to do a lot of the social media stuff and all those things. So I decided I wasn't going to do any shows till February. February, I've got a show. And I think probably something will come up in January. But between now and then, I'm trying to see if I can finish that album up. And I'm super excited to be having that free time to work on it and have nothing else to think about, because I really enjoy that process. So I've got nothing going on as far as live shows are concerned. I'm having a huge holiday party over here, which will be a holiday jam. So that'll be good. That'll be fun. But there's no pressure for that other than to provide alcoholic beverages, which I'm good at, and some food, which,
Are you going to play, or are you just going to hang out and watch people?
Watch people. Both. Basically, we have a whole studio over here. Our whole living room is all a big place to play. So everybody comes over with their instruments and plugs in, and we'll have just probably 6 hours of hopefully the police not showing up. It'll be just a jam night of everybody coming in and putting some time in. So I'm sure I'll play that night, but it's fun to do both, right?
Where can we find you online, since we are not going to be, not all of us can show up to your house party?
Just over all the socials and all the, you know, DebMorrisonMusic.com, Deb Morrison Music on Instagram, on Facebook, on Spotify, on Amazon, on all the streaming platforms. I'm around in there. Just got to put in Deb Morrison and thank you for listening and asking.
Thank you for that one final question. So you're working on the new album. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be completed in January, the writing of it, correct?
Probably in February or March, I'm hoping it's going to be done.
So let's say Deb Morrison is going through a songwriter's block. Let's talk about how you got through that and then what you would recommend up-and-coming songwriters do to get over their writer's block.
Well, I get those often. I guess we all do, right? I would say the biggest thing that I do when I really get stuck on something is to leave it alone. I think as of late, I'm trying to get myself into the habit of sitting down and writing and having a writing session. It really helps me actually to have somebody come over. Like my guitar player now comes over and we'll do a writing session. I'm like, oh, good, because now I can concentrate and hear something a little bit different that inspires me. Sometimes if you're writing alone all the time, it gets hard and you can get stuck in a rut, but I will just walk away from it and start something different. So if I'm really stuck on something, I leave it and maybe start to work a little bit on something else. Or I get a lot of inspiration if I'm listening and say hiking or going for a run or something like that. I'm just being out in nature and I can try to listen to it from a fresh perspective, but I'll leave it alone for a little bit and then come back fresh. I found that to be really helpful. I also feel like sometimes we get really busy in our lives and there can be distractions. I find that that's my biggest roadblock is I'm distracted by other things that are going on. So I can't fully focus on it and put my head into it. So I sometimes will wait a little while until everything else has died down and then I come back fresh. And then a lot of times that will get me out of it. So yeah, I say the biggest thing for me when I'm really in a rut is to put it away. I have songs that I just got stuck on and I'll just put it away for a couple of months sometimes and just start on something else that's inspiring me. Then I come back to it. I'm like, there it is, you know? And sometimes things just aren't working. I feel like you can get stuck on a storyline or in a song or in the arrangement. And you know something isn't right and it isn't working. You can't quite get yourself out of it. When that happens to me, I definitely put it aside, work on something else, come back, to it when I'm in a clearer state of mind and listen to it fresh. Just put my headphones on and I will listen to it when there's absolutely nothing else going on. Driving is one really great place I get inspired. And of course, being out in nature and on the trail, all I'm doing is focusing on just that one thing. There's nothing else I can be doing but like moving my feet, you know? And a lot of times I find that that helps me get out of it. I also think it really helps to continue the writing process. So even if you've moved on to something else because you've gotten into a rut, I find that continuing the habit of actually working is really great practice because it can spark something else, you know, move on to something else. You can start something else. I think that can get tricky when you feel like you have a lot of unfinished pieces. You know, you can have this notebook of tons of stuff or recordings of a million things. And you're like, oh, I just have to finish that. So then what I do is I make a list of these are the five tunes I'm going to finish. And then I start and I just try to keep all the other stuff, all the other noise over here and just go down that list one by one. If that makes any crazy sense. That's my process, as crazy as it may sound.
Well, it's over, guys, and you are very pleased. So let someone know by sharing the podcast with people you like, hate, or feel general indifference toward, because it really doesn't matter. We just need you to share us, all right? Also, like, follow, and subscribe. That is fantastic if you would help us with that. Also, please send DMs and emails of praise or hate to Rennell. Last but not least, remember to make some noise.